I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, why minor league baseball is still your best bet for entertainment with a capital E. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
On Thursday night, Golden State guard Steph Curry had 51 points. He also set a record with 128 consecutive games with at least one three-pointer, and the Warriors clinched a playoff spot earlier than any team had ever done that during the 82-game regular season. So, you ready to anoint the Warriors as the greatest team of all time?
I am ready to anoint the Warriors as being completely ridiculous at this point in the season. Steph Curry is only about 11 three-pointers short of the record he set last year, and he's still got 25 games to go.
A fair portion of the season.
He could wind up with 500 three-pointers this year.
I'm going to lob you a meatball.
Okay.
Now. Ready?
Yep.
FIFA voted for reforms. Ha, ha, ha. What are they?
I don't know. Really high-quality plain brown envelopes instead of the cheap ones you buy at the drugstore? Yeah, they also elected a new president, and unfortunately, he wasn't Tokyo Sex Wally or Jerome Champagne or other characters from Japanese anime movies.
No, he was Gianni Infantino, and he comes from Switzerland, and he's the new president, changes everything.
Oh, good. A country with strict bank secrecy laws.
Lost among the news of reforms was the decision to reduce Sepp Blatter's 8-year suspension to a 6-year suspension. What, for good behavior while he was on suspension? Anyway, several weeks ago, we had a story on Only a Game about betting on tennis matches a few years back. But the ATP's so-called Tennis Integrity Unit is reporting new activity. What's going on?
First of all, anybody who has not already pitched a Tennis Integrity Unit procedural to some television network is just missing a great opportunity.
A CSI?
Exactly right. Hi, I'm Laver, Tennis Integrity
here
Unit.
Here to investigate your second serve.
No, apparently there's a lot of gambling on tennis games among tennis players, which is the real problem.
As Major League Baseball teams prepare for a season in climes considerably nicer than our own, the league and the Players Union have agreed to institute some new rules. Will we recognize the game when it reappears here in April?
Most of the rules involve speeding up the game and not having us sit through the many wastes of time we have to sit through in the average baseball game. You have 30 seconds for mound visits now.
Discussion of wedding gifts.
Exactly. There's nothing like the scene in Bull Durham where they decide to buy candlesticks. Now, they have to do 30 seconds, which means they have to have a pretty good idea what they're going to do when they get out there. Although it just brings to mind those wonderful mound conversations from Ball 4 where, you know, Joe Schultz would go out to the mound simply to say, pound some Budweiser.
Right, right. Actually, my favorite mound conversations are the ones where the pitcher is Japanese and the manager doesn't speak Japanese.
My favorite one is the one where I guess it was Sal Magley came out to talk to Bouton and said, throw strikes. And Bouton said, if I could do that, I wouldn't need you to come out here.
On the advice of a professor at Stanford, the New York Yankees have a new suggestion for players regarding the standard 9:30 spring training workout, and the suggestion is sleep through it. Good advice?
Exactly. Hey, listen, I'm all in favor of this guy's report. I think everyone's workday should begin at 11:30. One of the great things about covering spring training is that your workday is done at noon, so it's a good thing for the writers for things to start at 9 o'clock.
Good point. Florida Marlins manager Don Mattingly, you remember him. He played for the Yankees, had a great mustache.
I do.
Anyway, Don Mattingly has instituted a new rule, too, and it will apply, of course, only to his players. What's the deal?
No mustaches.
Ah.
When he was a Yankee, he actually allowed himself to be benched rather than shave off the mustache back in the day. And, of course, now he's being called out by something. These people are probably in the same office building as the Tennis Integrity Unit. The American Mustache Institute is calling him out for hypocrisy and for discrimination.
Another sitcom just waiting.
I just have this picture of the directory next to the elevator, you know?
The NFL team in Washington, D.C. is supposed to play a game in London this fall. Two members of the British Labour Party have raised objections to the presence of that team there. What's the concern?
The nickname, of course,
of course,
which has been a mess and is now an international embarrassment as well as just a national and local embarrassment for the team. Will the NFL back down and either make the Redskins change the name or not send them to London?
Send another team.
I mean, if they go to London, they can all get locked up, which, you know, come to think of it, might not be a bad idea.
I'm always delighted when athletes find new and creative ways to express their dismay, especially when nobody gets hurt. But What did you think of Seattle Sounders star Clint Dempsey's response during Tuesday's exhibition match when the ref gave one of his teammates a red card?
This is interesting because I thought these were attached a little bit more securely. Clint Dempsey tore the CONCACAF patch
off his jersey.
Uniform.
Yeah, great.
I mean, I thought they were like sewn on there. Either that or Clint Dempsey's very strong.
He is very strong.
Okay.
Maybe he knew what was coming and he'd sort of worked the seams loose a little
bit.
But
the all-timer remains that guy from the Baltimore Ravens whose name I can never remember who picked up the penalty flag and threw it into the stands. That's still my favorite.
Finally, Charlie, I'm going to let you tell this week's story of the miraculous powers of the Stanley Cup while I just sit back and listen and marvel.
Described in the headline as the improbable conception.
Mm.
Yeah, Stan and Cheryl Riley are hockey fans. They live in Canada. And in 1996, Cheryl had been told that she could not conceive a child.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1996, as is the custom with Stanley Cup winning teams, one of the members of the Stanley Cup-winning Colorado Avalanche brought the Stanley Cup to town. And, of course, they get shown around and people get take their pictures of it. And Mr. Riley's wife, Cheryl, kissed the Stanley Cup. And 9 months later, they had a son.
And I gotta hope they named the son Stanley.
Oh, of course they did. Are you kidding? Stanley C. Gordon Jeff Riley.
Charlie Pierce joins me each week on Only a Game. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.